talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Will Joe Biden railroad America's railroads? Let's see here. This was going to be a very interesting topic of conversation. We had an economic scholar, a senior fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. She was going to join us to talk about freight traffic, freight trains. Will Joe Biden railroad America's railroads? But at last minute, she had something come up. She had to cancel that interview. So it was looking like we were going to have a full lineup of guests. And it's rare that we fill up the entire show with guests, but we were going to have a full lineup here in the 8 o'clock hour. And then, of course, we've got Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute, joining us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But these guys are in luck because they just dropped by our studios. And, hey, you guys know how we roll. You can call into the show, or sometimes we'll even have folks drop into the show, drop into the studios. Two of the candidates for the Eastern Montana Congressional District, Troy Downing and Rick Holden, popped into our studios here to say hi. And luckily for them, we've got some time now available. Troy, I'll start with you since you showed up first. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me. And, just something on what you're just talking about with the railroads. We actually just had to send a letter about that push from California to start requiring trains to be electric. I mean, talk about devastating an industry. Yeah. I mean, right now, a train is the cheapest, most efficient way of getting goods across the country, and they want to completely uproot that. It's just, it's crazy what's going on out there.
Yeah, and then Rick Holden in the house as well. Rick, great to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you, Aaron. It's finally cleared up some, so we'll see some grass grow out in the prairie.
I know these late storms caused some havoc on the Bozeman Pass, yesterday, et cetera, but my question is, but it's good to see some rain and some moisture out there, that's for sure. My question is, who isn't being railroaded by the Biden administration right now, right? I mean, it's
exactly.
Not just the railroads, it's everybody.
Yeah, we've had 4 years of weekend at Bernie's.
That's right.
Well, they attack everything that we have out here in eastern Montana, like our coal, oil, natural gas. And when I was in the legislature in the 90s, they did everything they could to shut down the timber industry, and then they shut down hard rock mining, and it's only a matter of time now that they're coming up back against us that are in agriculture like myself.
Yeah. So let's see. We got about a minute before our next break here. You guys are two of eight Republican candidates for the Eastern Congressional seat. And absentee ballots come out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
They get shipped out. So election day starts tomorrow, frankly.
Exactly, yes. So we're just, I don't know what everybody's doing, but Rick and I are clearly on the road trying to make sure we're getting in front of voters and listening to their concerns and making sure they hear us.
Rick Holden, what's the campaign? Yeah, you've been crisscrossing the state. I've run into it to a number of different places.
There's basically no corner in eastern Montana that I'm not afraid to go to. Of course, when you're involved in agriculture, you got to be willing to go out in the country and spread yourself around, and that's the story right there.
All right. Well, we've got an open segment here coming up after this break for about 7-8 minutes or so, and then a guest that we already scheduled for 8:20. Somebody from the VA, and I want to make sure we hold their feet to the fire here. So anyway, that'll be coming up around 8:20. Stand by.
Securing America.
During a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing Wednesday, senators from both sides of the aisle criticized the proposed $849.8 billion Department of Defense budget for 2025, saying it's not big enough. Budgets are capped at a 1% increase by legislation. The senator said the budget, therefore, does not keep up with inflation and is actually lower. Hearing Chairman Democratic Senator John Tester of Montana.
We need to understand what risk this lower budget creates for our military personnel, our operations around the globe, and our modernization efforts.
Republican Susan Collins from Maine criticized the potential effect on U.S. forces.
The budget request would result in the smallest Air Force fleet in the service's history. We would have the smallest army since the start of the all-volunteer force.
Senator Collins adding the Navy would grow by just one ship. Kevin Retzke, Fox News.
Hey, if you missed it on Wednesday's show, we got a surprise phone call from the Flathead County Sheriff and the mayor of Kalispell talking about the big story regarding the illegal aliens dumped in Kalispell last week and how we can or how we should respond. Full audio on our Montana Talks website, or better yet, download the Montana Talks app for your smartphone. Click the On Demand button. You can download not only that show, but all 4 hours of every day's show on the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we were talking about the railroads. Will Joe Biden railroad America's railroad? California wants to cripple America's railroads through unachievable net zero emissions standards for locomotives. I got a crazy Fox News story about what they want to do with electric trucks as well. Rick Hold, let's start with you since I started with Troy in the opener here. You know, really, frankly, in theory, whoever wins this Republican congressional primary here in the Eastern Congressional District will likely be the next congressman for Eastern Montana because it's such a safe Republican district in theory. What separates you from the other, seven sure. candidates yeah. that are on the stage with you?
Okay, so, that's a great segue into what I was thinking about here this morning, and that is that the Cascade County Republican Political Action Committee actually endorsed my campaign for Congress. And they looked at, and what they looked at was your previous voting record. They looked at your track record. And so I was in the state Senate for 8 years and had a very conservative proven track record. So that's what they're looking at. They're looking at, you can say anything you want to say, but do you actually have votes to back it up? The other thing is, Eastern Montana's number one industry is agriculture. That is it for us every day of the week, and it has been like that since the 1900s when my grandparents were homesteaders. And so they look at that, and they say, here's a guy that is actually involved in production agriculture because we raise cattle, sheep, wheat, corn, all the things that Montana is all about in the terms of agriculture. So when you combine those things, you can see that Rick Holden actually stands out, and he's different than the other candidates because he's actually in production agriculture, has a proven voting record that's conservative. And so the second largest Republican Central Committee in Montana endorsed Rick Holden.
Well, look at the way the Democrats are trying to, you talk about ag being the number one industry in eastern Montana. Look at the way the Democrats are trying to kill every other industry in eastern Montana, coal, you name yeah. it. Look at what they're doing to go anti-ag on top of that. Troy Downing, kind of similar question to you. What do you think separates you from the seven other candidates?
Well, obviously we've got candidates all have their strengths and weaknesses, but what I bring is, private sector success. I've built businesses. I have created jobs. I think it's really interesting to think of sending somebody to Congress who's going to make decisions for all of us who've never had to refinance a business, who've never had to make a payroll, who've never had to make those decisions that affect every one of us in the state. So I've got that background. The second thing is like you, Aaron, I've gone to war for this country. Congress constitutionally declares war. I think it's important that we have people there that understand what that looks like. And I think we need to claw back those powers from the executive branch and put them where they belong in Congress. And finally, I've had an incredibly successful tenure in my current office. I mean, we put bad guys in jail, we protect consumers, and we make it easy for business to do business in Montana. And having that background, I think, is important. A lot of the things that Mr. Holden was talking about with agriculture, that's important. I mean, I look at national security. I look at, border security as national security. I look at food security as national security. If you can't feed a country, that's how you bring it down. I mean, that goes back to the, dawn of man. And I look at energy security as national security. If we're not producing, what we need to efficiently, effectively, and cheaply, heat our homes, fill our cars, and get goods and services across the country, we're sitting ducks. And so what sets me apart is that private sector experience and success, that, military experience and that success in office. And I'll just tell you on the private sector part, you know, not to, you know, throw any stones, but we have members running here that have never, ever received a paycheck that wasn't paid for by taxpayers. And not that they're bad people, don't have good ideas, but I think that understanding, you know, the trials and tribulations of actually, you know, running a business or working in the private sector is meaningful, and we need representation that understands that.
So I got to see all the candidates, all eight, at the Yellowstone County Luke and Reagan dinner, and you know, there's a lot of undecided voters out there, and there's a lot of big names and some great backgrounds of folks that are running in this race. 30 seconds to each of you. One of the comments that I heard was, well, I'm not voting for that guy. So through process of elimination, is there you know, some candidates that are in that eight that Republicans definitely should not vote for? 30 seconds to you, Rick Holden.
I think when you look at who you're going to vote for, you want somebody that's from Montana, has always been from Montana. I think that's important. If they don't live in the district, they come from outside the district. I think you'd have to say Troy is from Bozeman. And I don't think that's good for eastern Montana.
Troy, well, shots fired there, Troy.
Well, shots fired. Well, I do live in the district. You know, Heather and I have made our home in Helena, and I understand, you know, that's on the far west part of the district. But, you know, we understand the agricultural issues. We understand the energy issues. We understand how to create jobs, how to support business in this state. And I think that is the one thing you need to everybody thrive, is to make it easy for folks to do business, to have jobs,
Any candidates that you would say, hey, scratch that person off the list if you're having trouble deciding so far?
You know, I'm not going to take the bait on that, but you know, look for yourself. There's at least one candidate that's not a Republican in there.
People might ask the question, and yeah, I think I know exactly who you're referring to on that front. All right, let's see. Rick Holden, any final thoughts? We got a guest coming up after this, or we'd keep you guys around. Yeah,
I know time is short, so I just really want people to go out and study the candidates. Just study them. Don't go by name ID. Don't go by something else. Look up your candidates and study their background. I think you'll come to a much better conclusion as to how you should vote.
Rick Holden, great to see you. Troy Downing, about 30 seconds as well.
And I agree with that. You know, politicians will tell you a lot of things. Look and see what they've done. And like I said, we've made our current office everything it can be. And if you want somebody that understands business, understands how to make things work, understand how fat taxes and regulation affect industry and normal people's lives, you're going to look at Troy Downing. More information, troydowning.com. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, great to see both you guys. That was fun. I'm kind of glad we had an opening there, because that was fun to see both of you guys here on the campaign trail. We're going to be talking about VA. The VA is in desperate need of volunteer drivers. Surprise there, right? Stand by.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, I mentioned we have a full lineup of guests here this morning. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute. They've got an education freedom workshop taking place in Billings, Montana tonight. And Kendall's always a great guest on the show. I mean, we can spin off from education to housing to all sorts of topics. But when this came across my email, I thought, no, we need to have this conversation. Of course, you know, as an Iraq, Afghanistan veteran, and there's so many of our fellow veterans that listen to this show, this is a topic that we definitely need to cover. The Department of Veterans Affairs Volunteer Transportation Network is looking for volunteers. They are in big need of volunteers right now. And so from the VA's Center for Development and Civic Engagement, we've got Dr. Sabrina Clark, the director for the VA Center for Development and Civic Engagement from the Veterans Health Administration. Dr. Clark, thanks for calling in this morning. Great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your service, sir.
Well, thank you, and please say thanks to our friends across the VA. I tell you what, we've all got our frustrations with the VA bureaucracy, but I tell you what, the nurses and the PAs and the staff folks that we have at our local clinics here in Montana are just incredible folks, many of them veterans themselves. So I guess what's your pitch, what's your message to folks across Montana right now? How desperately does the VA need volunteer drivers?
Yeah, I think first of all, and thank you for acknowledging the outstanding staff there at the VAs across Montana because they are fantastic. It's why I have spent three decades of my life working alongside them for the benefit of veterans. So, but my pitch today is also a thanks and a call to action for any other individuals across your area, across the state, who want to give back to veterans through service, through volunteer service, specifically through our volunteer transportation network. We are in need of drivers who want to transport veterans to and from medical appointments at VA facilities, and that's what we need, are individuals who have a good driving record, have a valid driver's license, are willing to undergo our trainings and screenings to become a driver to ensure that veterans have access to their care. And so that's why I'm on the show today, to hopefully implore individuals who have the time and have the skills and have the desire to help us ensure that access to care for our veterans.
What does the training look like right now? Probably 2-3 years ago, I had a great guy, a fellow veteran out of Polson, Montana, and you know, he agreed to become a volunteer driver because, you know, at the time the VA was sickeningly kicking volunteer drivers to the curb because of the stupid COVID vaccine mandate. And then there were these stupid mask mandates that were so detrimental to veteran support services. And I know I, for one, was just so sickened to walk into a VA facility and be told that I had to put on one of these what I saw as a burqa on my face just to get health care. But that being said, this guy said, okay, look, I got the shot, so I checked that box. Okay, I'll step up. You know, because a lot of these drivers didn't want to be drivers for the VA because they didn't want to get forced to get the COVID shot. So a lot of them, you know, they said, that's it, I'm out. And so now we're in desperate need of drivers. But this guy said, hey, I'll do it. But then he went to do it. And trying to schedule the examinations and the training, it took so long. It was taking several months that he's like, man, even the people who got the shot and agreed to volunteer, the bureaucracy was so bad that how are they ever going to get drivers? Has that portion been fixed?
Yeah, and you know, and I appreciate the sentiment and the concerns and the comments. And what I will say about, you know, has that part been fixed? You know, we know that there are concerns about how long it takes. And it is, and I would agree, there are things that we are working on internally to ensure that our occupational health physicians and providers can get those physicals done in timely ways. Are there things that we can do to help streamline that? Yes, we're trying to work on that, and we are working on that now. Ensuring that those individuals who are willing to serve, as you state, can come in and get their training, that typically is not the issue. From what I hear mostly, is that when people are interested, our program managers at our local VA facilities, they can have those conversations, make sure the application process is done, make sure all the background screening is done. But you're right about those physical examinations. That is a question that we hear a lot. And why can't we streamline that? That's something that we're working on. What I can say about that, though, Aaron, is that it's something that must be done, because we want to ensure not only that people are willing to drive, but they're able to drive. And it's not just drive a vehicle. Like you said, it's that capacity to transport another person, another veteran, across the state, wherever they're coming, in a government vehicle safely. That's what we want. And so some of those requirements are necessary. They may be burdensome, but I always ask the question, would you rather us do things quickly or safely? We shouldn't have to compromise on that, but we do want to make sure that safety becomes the priority, and where we can streamline and be more efficient, we're definitely willing to do it, and we're moving in that direction.
Well, and our veterans are willing to sacrifice to take care of their fellow veterans, just like they sacrificed for the men and women on their left and right before. So if it takes time and it takes, you know, this exam or that exam, they're willing to do it. But just to be clear, for the requirements now, what are you looking for volunteer drivers for the VA? They're not forcing people to get COVID shots or the 15th booster or anything like that, right?
Well, right now, we are really leaving that up to facility leadership. So we want the facility managers, the directors, the safety managers at local VA facilities to determine what are the appropriate safety protocols for their community.
So if some crackpot, tin pot dictator bureaucrat in Missoula says, you will get the COVID shot, you will wear a mask, they might have to do it?
Well, I'm hoping that individual is that same person you described earlier, that dedicated public servant that is working on behalf of veterans. But the answer to that is yes. If that facility leader is identified saying in our community our COVID rates are high or they're coming back, that we have a concern for the veterans or the staff in that facility, and we're saying if you're coming in to volunteer your time, we want you to do this so that we can not only ensure the safety of the people that they have access to, but their own safety.
Well, Dr. Clark, if you could pass on to the secretary, mm-hmm. that is shameful. That is a slap in the face to the men and women who serve this country, that they're even allowing some facility to force this stuff on volunteer veterans who are stepping up to serve. And I know you've got to implement the policies that are probably being dictated down to you, but if you could pass on our frustration, I would also like to see the VA secretary come back here and apologize to these volunteer drivers who were kicked to the curb over mask mandates and COVID vaccines. Because, you know, again, we fought for freedom, and then to have those freedoms stripped away inside our own VA facilities, especially post 9/11 veterans that saw women who were forced to wear burkas and then we have to wear burkas in an own. I would love to see an apology come down from the VA secretary in addition to a change in policy. My personal opinion, but I know fellow veterans, a lot of them feel the same way.
Thank you. We'll pass it along. And I am still, as I say, hopeful that in those areas that people will also allow, you know, the leadership and the healthcare workers in their communities to decide when it's safe and what's necessary to ensure, you know, the health and safety of everyone in the community, including our veterans. But thank you for your comment.
Well, thank you. And I know we got a couple more minutes here before the break. And I would just say, when it comes to safety, that COVID shot was forced on military service members and veterans, and it jeopardized their safety, causing heart problems and so many other things. And so, yeah, on a safety point, I just wanted to make that point. If somebody wants to step up and serve as a volunteer driver right now, what's the process? Where do they go to get the process started?
They can get the process started by going to their local VA facility, or they can go on our website at volunteer.va.gov, and they can start the process right there, and that will allow the individuals at that facility to see who's interested, reach back out to them, and make sure that they have the application and that they understand everything that's required to get started. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Any Montana-specific numbers in terms of how many drivers are needed, how many drivers we've lost in just the last 3 years or so alone?
Well, what I can tell you in Montana is that you have a very strong volunteer network. So there are hundreds of drivers in Montana, but there's such a need for more because you're a big state and you got a lot of ground to cover. And I think in your area, and why I'm so glad to be on the call, is because there is a need based on just the geographic requirements of this area. So I don't have numbers on those that have been lost, but I can tell you that there are definitely those who are still, you know, raising their hand. And what I say to people all the time who say, you know, gosh, VA is a mess. What's going on over there? And I always say, well, perhaps so. But I can tell you right now, you know, by name, 25,000 people who will work for this agency for free. And they're called VA volunteers. And the people who will donate and serve and be a part of what we do on behalf of veterans, and that means something. Because there are programs and services and activities available to veterans that otherwise would not be available without these individuals. So folks maybe have walked away, but I'm hoping that they'll come back, because there are many who have stayed and many that are coming back and many new volunteers.
Yeah, very important service. Yes, especially here in Montana, where it might take you 6 hours to get to Fort Harrison or more. Dr. Sabrina Clark, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Oh, Right. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. Thanks for sharing our concerns and thoughts with the secretary as well. Quick break here on Montana Talks. I think we have another very interesting guest coming up right after this. There's apparently a big border rally coming up in Shelby, Montana very soon.
He is not squishy, and he is definitely not a journalist. He is Dan Bongino, and you can hear him each weekday 10 to 1 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
Hear News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Yeah, I was wondering if we might be a little bit double scheduled here, but hey, we've got one of the folks already on the phone lines. So right now, our producer Travis did a story a while back, and it was about how there were three teachers who were in the running for a national teacher competition. And I saw this story and I shared it on our Montana Talks website because I was like, man, hey, I was like, that teacher is like one of the most popular teachers. The kids absolutely love this guy. He's a teacher at Ben Steele Middle School. And I remember when I was there for a Veterans Day event, the kids were just cheering this guy on. So you could just tell the kids love this school teacher. He's now on the phone lines with us right now. Let's sneak him on first. Let's see, Michael in Billings, and I apologize, I'm spacing your last name here off the top of my head, but thanks for calling in this morning.
Hey, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, my name,
Mr. Thomas,
yeah,
right?
Mr. Thomas.
Oh, I just got, okay,
that's
yeah,
it.
Mr. Thomas. The kids were like, man, they were like, it was like a pep rally for you for a few minutes.
Those kids are something else. I appreciate having me on. This competition is a kind of an odd thing. I had kids that I taught in third grade at Miles Avenue. They were hanging out one night. They're grown now. And they messaged me and said, hey, you need to sign up for this thing. And I do not like self-promotion at all. And they kept bugging me about it, and I have to do it myself. So I filled this thing out, and I've gone through 8 or 9 cuts, and we're down to the 1% like nationwide. And I'm going up against teachers from Las Vegas School District, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, so big places. And so I was hoping to get the word out and see kind of what we could do from a Montana boy here.
Yeah, no, this is great. So, yeah, I'm pulling up Travis's story. This was from back about a month ago, April 11th. Vote now for three Billings teachers for America's Favorite. And so you're the last man standing of the Montana teachers. So if people want to support a Montana teacher, great photo of you here, by the way. Is that like a Christmas sport jacket on there? What are you wearing?
Oh, yeah. I'm DJing the middle school Christmas dance in that one.
Oh, you're a brave man.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, and you know, my voice is crackly, sorry. We just got back from D.C. with 116 kids and about, 8 hours of sleep over 5 days. But you know what? This is the best job there is, and the kids love being in the building, love being in the room, and my feeling is if they want to be there, they're going to learn. And I'd like to kind of get that message across to as many people as can hear that message.
You know, all three of my kids have gone through, and one's still at Ben Steele Middle School. I absolutely love Ben Steele. I got to go Alaska halibut fishing with a fellow Iraq War veteran who's a teacher at Ben Steele right now, Mr. Mainwaring. Great guy. The kids love him, too. And so there's just so many great folks there. But I also love, Ben Steele, a World War II Bataan Death March survivor. I mean, the patriotism is everywhere on display in that school, as it should be. But I know the kids love you because I remember when I was there for a Veterans Day deal, they were just like cheering you on. In this portion, it says, tell us about your most memorable teaching experience. One of the kids called you Grandma, huh?
Oh, yeah. I think Dylan Martell, third grade, Miles Avenue. And she tried to get my attention. She says, Grandma. And all the kids laughed at her. I loved it. I mean, who doesn't love Grandma, honestly?
And that's right.
A decade later, at least, I see her in the grocery store, and she hollers across, what's going on, Grandma? And, I mean, it's that stuff. You hold on to it. you know? And my wife's looking at me like, what is that about? And it's like, don't worry about it. It's a very inside joke, but it's one of those things you keep, you know? But it is the best job, and it's a hard job. And, like I said, self-promotion is difficult, but I'll tell you what, there's a cash prize for this, and there's a trip, but the really cool thing is you get to do an article in Reader's Digest about your feelings on the state of education, and I've got a few things to say, and I'd love to have that opportunity.
Yeah. Mr. Thomas, Michael Thomas, Ben Steele Middle School, in the running for America's Favorite Teacher, and the winner... Yeah, of course, you got the Reader's Digest magazine article. You get a trip to Hawaii and $25,000. We need to help make this happen. So how do we vote? Yeah.
So there's a link I can send. If you can put it out on your webpage, that'd be fantastic. And it's a Facebook link. You verify with Facebook. There is an option for purchasing votes. It is helping pay for a nonprofit, Teach for America. Honestly, just a free vote would be amazing. And you know, with this money, if I win all the tax free portion of it, who knows what that will be. I want to do at least a couple scholarships for that DC trip. We've got kids that would love to go, but it's about $3,000, and that's a pretty big hill to climb for middle schoolers. So I'd love to be able to help out with that a little bit.
Well, that's incredible. Well, Mr. Thomas, I know you want to write a Reader's Digest column about your thoughts on the state of education. Let's get you back on the show one of these days to talk more in depth. Maybe we can get you on next week, maybe in studio or something like that. And then also help promote this America's Favorite Teacher contest. Michael Thomas, and we'll re-up that story on our websites, too, and promote it within our team here to get all the radio stations hyping you up here. Thanks for all you do.
Yeah, thanks so much, Aaron. Appreciate you. Listen to you every morning. We'll just keep that going.
Wow. Well, that's an honor. That means a lot, I know. And thanks again for what you do for the kids. Please give our best to all the folks at Ben Steele. All right. Let's see. We're sneaking a lot of content in here on the show this morning. And hat tip to our friend Julie Mack in the Flathead Valley for linking us up with a great guest now joining us on the show. Let's see, Kim. Kim just did an interview with General Flynn, and this is Kim Yater. She does a radio talk show / podcast, doing it all. And Kim, you're going to be in Shelby, Montana pretty soon, right?
I'm so excited, Aaron. Hello to you. Hello, Montana, and hello, Grandma.
Wasn't that great?
That was so great. So, yeah, we're going to be in Shelby in the month of June. In the month of July in Shelby. We're hitting 5 states. Pretty amazing. This is called the Take Our Border Back North America Alliance. It's USA, it's Canada, and it's Mexico. And we are shedding to light the issues that are going on. I mean, we had a Take Our Border Back convoy across America this year in February. The impact, Aaron, was tremendous. We had 10,000 participants. I mean, that's not a lot, but 100 million reached. We the People were in action. Main Street media went from crickets talking about the border to actually bringing what was happening on the mainstream media. We went from Mayorkas, the beginning of Mayorkas's impeachment. We saw Eagle Pass border shutdown. That was a pretty big deal. So we're bringing it this next round, and we had Canada reach out to us. Canada's well-decorated military. These guys, many of them left because of the draconian lockdowns with the vaccine, right? So these guys said, Kim, the border, all your eyes are on the southern border, but our northern border is being invaded. And right now, China has set up shop. And I sat there, and I listened. I had just met with Tom Holman from Border 911. I had seen, I'd been on the border with my feet. I experienced it. I saw it. And I said, that's it. We're doing something. And our team pulled together, and we created the first round. And we got impact. But this now, joining forces with Canada and Mexico and USA, breaking bread together.
That's great.
Table talk and prayer.
That's great. Yeah, Kim Yater hosts the Take Your Power Back show, and this is a Take Our Border Back event coming up. Yeah, I'm so glad you're going to Shelby, Montana, because, you know, back when all these, like you say, draconian COVID mandates and lockdowns were taking place, we had folks rally on both sides of the U.S.-Canada border, north of Shelby, Montana, and then on the Alberta side as well, pushing back, supporting these freedom convoys, supporting our truckers, and pushing back against all the lockdowns and the mandates. And so, but our northern border, heck, the numbers I just shared the other day, we've got more terror watch list individuals crossing our northern border now than we do even the southern border.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, we know what that's like, and we have had dead bodies here and on the southern border. So if we don't do something, I mean, not only is this impacting our entire infrastructure, it's impacting our safety. This is a Trojan horse. If we do not stand up as we the people, sovereign citizens, and we know our sovereignty comes from the Creator. If we do not take our government back, right, then we're going to lose this country.
Well, I'd love to join you for that event in Shelby. We're on the radio in Shelby on KSEN Radio, so maybe we can join you for that. So let's stay in touch.
Yes.
Maybe we can do a live radio show that morning from the event or the next day or something of that effect, because I've been traveling the state doing a statewide tour talking about Bidenomics and how Joe Biden and John Tester are driving up the cost of everything. And so I'd love to join you. We're going to be doing some Border Patrol type deal events as well. Kim Yater, if you can, if you got to run, feel free. I got to hit a hard break here, but if you want to join us, we've got a quick few minutes to wrap up the hour after this this break here. But so if you want to stand by and join us for a few minutes, please do. If you got to run, that's all right. 9 o'clock hour, Kendall Cotton with the Frontier Institute in the house.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Stormy, this was all used to humiliate, embarrass Donald Trump. All of it was irrelevant. All of it was immaterial. None of it had to do with the law. He's coached by prosecutors. The judge never should have allowed this testimony. And on top of all of it, a non-disclosure agreement is not illegal. It is a perfectly legal document on top of all of this. And nobody has even gotten close to bringing Donald Trump into any involvement in terms of the payment that this is connected to the election or that he had anything to do with it. It's pretty unbelievable. But the jury, the smoke and mirrors, and the salaciousness of this trial, let's put salaciousness on trial, because that's what they're doing here.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Joe Biden wants you taxed to the brink, under the thumb of the IRS, and controlled with a digital dollar. That's why thousands of hardworking, patriotic Americans are opting out by diversifying their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And guess what? Sean Hannity is doing the same. He's been purchasing precious metals like gold and silver from the top-rated company, Goldco. Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner, number one rated gold IRA company with over 5,000 five-star reviews. And they've placed over $2 billion in precious metal sales for people just like you. Right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. That's right, up to $10,000 in bonus silver, but only while supplies last. So if you're looking to diversify your savings, call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD to learn how you could get started today. Tell them Hannity sent you and see if you qualify for up to $10,000 in bonus silver. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Old. This is the Montana Economic Minute.
No one teaches or listens to the fundamental considerations that go into a good tax system anymore, which is a shame. Because even though the reality is that tax design has become a huge pushing match of folks trying to reduce their own tax burdens, the fundamental principles still apply. One of those is called horizontal equity. A good tax system is one where people in the same economic circumstances pay the same tax. It's hard to argue against that, yet the tax system of today violates it left and right. One place is the Montana property tax system's big spread in tax rates on different classifications of property. Most of those classifications have the market value of property as their basis, with some important exceptions. Agricultural property is based on the revenue produced by the land. This creates a fundamental inequality, where two otherwise similar homes pay different taxes, if one has enough revenue from ag production to be classified differently. I'm Patrick Parkey.
And there are funds to treasure.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go back to Kim Yater here from the Take Your Power Back show. And by the way, for this border tour, takeourborderback.com is the website. I caught up with Kim during the break. Yeah, if you've got organizations who, like me, want to take part in this Take Our Border Back event in Shelby, Montana, check out that website, get a hold of her, or, hey, send me a message, and I'll forward your message on to Kim Yater. Kim, you know, when I talked with you during the break, basically you're teaming up with several pastors. This is a faith-based effort talking about the importance of our borders and border security. Pastor Artur Pawlowski, he's the guy, man, they went after him in Canada. They arrested him for doing street church services during the COVID. They didn't even want him preaching on the streets. That's how tyrannical the Trudeau regime has been up there. But apparently Pawlowski may be there in Shelby.
Yes, I'm so excited. We have such an incredible line of powerhouse patriots that love God that are showing up and supporting. And I'll tell you what we saw happen to Artur Pawlowski, we are not far off from that. This is a warning to America that we, the people, sovereign citizens, have got to reclaim our sovereignty and ensure government serves the people. That's why this event is so important. We want to empower the citizens with resources, strategies, and action plans to ensure accountability to affect change. Aaron, we're talking the local sheriffs, the city councils, the county boards, the school boards, the elected officials held accountable. And we've got these two powerful swords that we're not using. Do you know what they are? Number one, it's the Constitution. We need to know how to wield the sword, and the other is God's word. They work hand in hand. So we're bringing the pastors in. Artur Pawlowski, we've got Pastor Jim Garlow, we've got the president of the Pastoral Alliance in Mexico, we've got Pastor Bishop Benjamin here in the States, who is actually prayed with President Trump, and we're just bringing them on in. This is the time for we, the people, to take our power back.
That's right. And how often, I mean, we just had the National Day of Prayer and community prayer events all across the state last week. How often do we talk and complain or speak out about all these topics? And how often do we forget to just pray, pray for our country, pray for our local leaders, pray for our national leaders and more? Well, yes. Kim Yater, I'm excited to see you in Montana. Thanks for what you're doing. And yeah, I'll have to check out your show a little more often here, the Take Your Power Back show.com. And again, the website, takeourborderback.com. Kim Yater, thanks for your time. And thanks to Julie Mack for linking us up.
God bless you, Montana. Thanks so much.
Hey, God bless you as well. And yeah, and again, thanks to Julie Mack for connecting us. Julie Mack, she helped put together that Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner in the Flathead Valley a couple years ago that I had the honor of emceeing, and she's a rock star up there. And I wish I was as good of an MC as Julie Mack is. She's great at running those events. Hey, let's see. I want to sneak on a caller, but we're already out of time. And then I got Kendall Cotton joining us in the 9 o'clock hour of this show. But Grandpa Lou, if you want to call back later on in the 9 o'clock hour when Kendall's with us, we'll try to sneak in some calls with Kendall Cotton as well. Hey, here's the deal. I know some of you are thinking, man, I'd love to go hike the border. I'd love to go take a trip to the border, but man, I got these knees that are killing me. I got that lower back pain, hard to get in a vehicle and travel, sit in a car all day. And so maybe that's preventing you from attending events or golfing or hiking or hunting. Well, what if there was a natural way to get over that pain? Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. You can dodge the surgery. You can dodge the pain-killing prescription drugs the natural way. QC Kinetics specializes in regenerative medicine. They've got hundreds of clinics all across America, but they're now here in Montana. And they take the healing properties that are already in your body, put them directly into those achy joints. And you can get a free consultation. If you call them right now, take advantage of this break, give them a call right now or call them after the show a little bit later today for a free consultation. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.